Back to Where at the Dusk, their soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. My name is Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
We're your after show where we really dig into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they're connected, why they are soulmates. But you know, I didn't prepare for this. I don't know how we could have. When we first started doing this podcast, I never thought that it would be difficult because they weren't in the episode that much. And these last few, especially for Rebecca, have been difficult.
Yeah.
Because they haven't really had their own. And Ted was in the episode, but he's not. And I love the fact that they have incorporated the other characters in deeper storylines this year and overall enjoying the show a lot.
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
You're not?
I mean, I'm enjoying it. I've told you that I'm going to rewatch the whole season once this...
Oh,
podcast
yeah.
is over because
exactly.
of the stress of it all. Yeah. So I stress watch. But, I'm just trying to take it on the other characters in, but it's like the whole time you're trying to read into what's going on with Rebecca and Ted.
Right. No, I agree.
And
I did
know
this
it sounds
to us
ridiculous.
I'm
but
sorry.
Yeah, never again.
I've learned my lesson. I will only do podcasts for shows that I'm like, about. Not that I really like, but.
Or just do a podcast reviewing the show
when
like
it's
everyone
done.
Else not with an
oh I see what you're saying yes
two people getting together or
yeah but the thing with that is you have to jump on a show right away if you want to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why I had to kind of this was the angle I wanted to take, but that's why I went with it, because I was like, oh, at least it's a different angle because there are already so many great Ted Lasso podcasts out
right
there. But yes, I agree, we sit there and it's stressful. And then, but I actually rewatched a bit of season 3 already one day. I just like let the first episode play. I enjoyed it so much because I knew what was going to happen. I didn't have to worry about any of this.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
I mean, I've always been prepared to burn this bitch down, but I didn't prepare myself for not knowing really what to say because they're not in the episodes much.
I know. It's an interesting season, to say the least.
It is. If you're enjoying this podcast, I always have the best...
I know. We're always coming off of
I'm
something
always, like,
extremely
apologizing
negative.
For how terrible this show is, and then asking if anyone would like to leave a rating or a review. But hey, you know, if you don't mind, then go to iTunes or Spotify. Spotify, you can just do a rating, but iTunes, you can do a rating and a review. And we would appreciate it very much. The episode we're going to cover today is called "The Locker Room of Fall."
Mm.
It is a
good thing you said it, not me.
I know. You know, I had to look up how to say it, honestly, and I'm embarrassed because it's based on a musical called "La Cage of Fall," which is where the opening song comes from, and the song at the end. But we need to see more musicals. We should make that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now that I'm not watching TV anymore, we'll have time. We should really make time to go see musicals instead. Whatever comes through Atlanta. Even in LA, though, we only had that one theater, the Pantages.
Well, no, that's not true. There are other theaters. We just didn't go anywhere. Go to them.
That's true.
There was other
theaters. You're right. But we didn't have anything like a Broadway or a West End.
Oh, yeah. No, not a whole area of.
London does.
No.
Yeah.
No, I see what you're saying.
So you can only see so many at a time. But
well, you can only see what's playing at the Pantages.
But our kids would love them, so we really should make more of an effort to... I need to make more of an effort to get out at all. Anyway, it was released on May 10th, 2023, written by Chuck Hayward and directed by Erica Dunton. So the summary of this episode, I can't really summarize what's going on focusing on Ted and Rebecca because... Ted takes a phone call and Rebecca gives out more advice.
Right.
So we'll just kind of get into the episode. So at the very beginning, the guys are doing well. They're playing the prelude opening song for La Cage a Fall as they're playing total football, and they've been winning. They're really gelling. There's they're lots of fun. Smiles. Yes, they're having a great time. First time we see Rebecca.
Well, and then, but real quick, yes. I want to add that there's fans. And so ever since, I think since the three barflies,
yeah.
Boz and
Jeremy and Paul.
Jeremy and Paul.
Don't ask me who is who.
Came. I think I know. But when they all came, I think it probably became a thing. And now they all come and they all watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, don't, if it's not broken, don't fix it. They're winning. So yeah. Who cares? Let them come in and see the practice, you know?
And like Ted said, they have nothing to hide.
Right.
This is what they're doing. And, you know, do they show Baz, Paul, and Jeremy here at the beginning, I
they
wonder?
They do.
Okay. Because that's the only way those guys are ever going to see a game anyway, because this is free as far as we know.
Right. Right. That's the only time they're going to see them play live.
And Roy even tells him, you know, when you first decided you were going to completely change our style of play midway through the season, I was trying not to be old Roy and like be grumpy about it, but I really didn't think it would work. And then he says that it is. And he says, great job. And they show the part from the trailer that we saw Beard where he throws the clipboard.
It falls down. Yeah. But a different angle.
It was a different angle. That was very interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
It was, yeah, right. It was a side angle instead of the front.
Yeah.
You could just tell they shot it both ways because that front angle is in this scene where it shows the three of them.
For
so
sure.
It was just shot at probably with another camera off to the side. So it's the same take, I think.
Brendan Hunt has done a lot of falling down acting.
Yeah, pratfalls.
Remember he fell over the...
Yes, he fell over the wall.
I think he hurt himself doing that too, if I remember correctly.
Really?
In an interview. Yeah. And in Beard After Hours, I don't know if that was actually him, but he throws himself off the building into a dumpster.
Yeah, that one may not have been him.
So when we first see Rebecca and Keely, they're in Rebecca's office. No shoes. I always love thinking back to the first season of the show and then comparing how the relationships have changed. So you remember when Keely comes into Rebecca's office that one time that she decides she's going to sit down and talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
She gives her a little cactus and they talk about the topless photo. Keely takes her shoes off and puts her feet up on the couch.
Right.
And you see Rebecca look over like appalled that she's just taken her shoes off.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Well, yeah, she didn't know her as well.
Right, right. But now it's so cute because they both have their shoes off. And they're just kind of like sitting, eating lunch. And there's not a lot of personal space between the two of them.
Yeah,
Keely
no.
really likes to
Very
snuggle.
Close.
Yeah, she gets in there. Rebecca asks Keely if she has heard from Jack.
Yeah.
And then Keely says, you know how when you send a text message, you're not supposed to send another text message without a response? And Rebecca's like, yes.
Mm-mm.
And then Keely shows her her phone. And she's sent so many messages.
I
love
know.
How Rebecca goes, so much blue.
I know.
Keely says she had diarrhea of the thumbs. And then she's all pouty and like lays on her lap.
But see, I'm a bit confused unless I missed something last week. I thought it seemed like she was okay with them separating because Jack was trying to tell her what to do.
Well, Jack kind of, I think they framed it as poor Keely keeps getting dumped thinking
right.
that she's on a break. It happened with Roy.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's what happened again. I think they were like, maybe we should take a break. She probably figured they'd
come back. Yeah,
talk,
you're probably right. Okay.
Reevaluate, okay. And now Jack is just non-existent.
Right. Ghosting her.
Even though Ted and Rebecca aren't in a relationship, he kind of did the same thing to her when he sent those 12 messages she hadn't responded.
Yep.
But I guess
meanwhile,
he
her phone was at the bottom of the canal.
Right. But he maybe just thought she was mad at him or blowing him off or something. So Ted stopped with the diarrhea of the thumbs. Ted comes in, he sees Keely leaning her head in Rebecca's lap, and Rebecca's consoling her, and he's like, uh-oh. So either girl talk's gone horribly wrong because something has happened, or nothing's happened at all. Do you know what that's referring back to?
Oh, man. Hate fine. When you do this to me.
I know, but I do it because I know you're never going to know, but that's okay. In the second season, when he walks in and she's all like, oh, I thought you were Keely, and she was saying that she just wanted some girl talk because she was trying to figure out what to do about John Wayne tonight.
Oh, right.
Then he sits down and he's like, well, let me try it out. And so they have girl talk. And then he's like, okay, so nothing is really wrong and we don't have to do anything about anything. And she's like, yeah, I guess not. And he's like, okay.
Ah.
So he's like, sometimes girl talk is just nothing at all. All
right.
So that's what that is going back to. He has two boxes of biscuits with him. And he's like, I knew you were going to be here, so I'm giving you one of the boxes of biscuits. How did he know she was going
to
be there?
I don't know. I was trying to figure that one out the few times we've watched this. And I don't understand that. And then why there's money in it. None of this I understand.
Well, there's some controversy online because people are very upset that Ted would give Keely a box of biscuits because that's always been like a Rebecca thing. Mm. And then there was some talk that there actually aren't biscuits in there, that he just took a cardboard box and put the
that's
money in there.
That's what I thought too for a minute.
But I see biscuits. Do you see him in there? I see him.
No, I can't see around the closed captioning.
So then the other thing is that he put dirty money on top of biscuits for Keely to
eat.
Yeah,
true.
So
a lot of issues.
My thought is he saw the Keely car in the parking lot and he was like, oh, Keely's here. Maybe I feel bad for her because she's going through a tough time. I'll bring her some biscuits. So he must keep extra biscuits at work just in case he ever forgets biscuits.
Or the day before he asked Rebecca what she's doing for lunch tomorrow and Rebecca's like, Keely's coming in.
Okay, yeah, that could be it too.
How You're about right. that?
But then he could have prepared more than throwing $40 on top of her biscuits.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm out of ideas.
Rebecca tells Ted that Jack is ghosting Keely. Mm. And he says, oh, the digital Irish goodbye. I love that. But he's like, you know what?
It's great. It's a funny line.
I'm confused, though, because I had a friend named Seamus O'Malley, and he used to hug people for like 20 minutes before he would leave any party. So Seamus did not.
I think Irish people are very loud and, partying. I don't think the Irish goodbye does come from the Irish, mm-hmm. I guess, but I don't think they practice it that well, maybe.
Yeah, I don't actually know the origin of, I've heard of Irish goodbye before, and I think it's awesome because that's always what I want to, just let me slip out. No one's going to even realize I'm gone.
Until hours later, maybe.
Will they even at all? No.
Or even at all.
Okay. I had a nice time. It's 9:00. It's time to go home.
9:00.
And I love that it's the digital Irish goodbye, which is just completely getting ghosted. But I don't know. Well, Seamus certainly didn't do it. So maybe not.
I don't know.
If anyone knows where that actually came from, yell at me on Twitter. Ted asks Rebecca if it's okay if he skips the press conference today because he has a FaceTime parent-teacher call for Henry with Michelle later in the afternoon.
Right.
That's very sweet.
That is nice.
I like that he's still staying as engaged as he can from a different country.
Yes.
And Rebecca says, of course, family first. And then Keely says, maybe we could have Roy do it. And you see, like, Rebecca kind of looks at Ted. Ted looks at Rebecca, and she kind of gives a little nod. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, I'm fine with it. It's fine with me. And then he tells Keely, look at you. You're heartbroken, but you're still kicking butt. I was going to say ass, but he doesn't actually say ass.
No, he says butt.
Yep. And Harry then she's like, I'm not really heartbroken. I'm more like heart bent. And I like that they threw that line in there because it just does give us the idea, like, she's sad about Jack.
Right, but not the heart's not broken fully. It's just bent a little bit.
But the heart's still broken already from Roy.
Right, because there's a lot of problems
that's
there.
Really, I think, what she's been hurting from this whole time. So he's like, oh, that would be a good country song. And he starts singing about being heart bent in his apartment.
I know.
Because all that you left... And Keely and Rebecca are kind of into it at first.
Yeah, they're like moving their heads to it. And he's singing along until...
And then he says, all that you left was your fart scent.
And then they're like, okay, Ted.
Yeah, Rebecca immediately says, all right, goodbye, Ted.
Right, get out.
Listen, Ted, we don't have time for you to be making songs up about farts.
I know. And then as he's walking out the door, he's singing another verse of it that's even worse.
Yeah, then
it's not as clever.
Because all you left was the smell of your farts. Nothing even rhymes in that one.
Man, stop with the farts.
If you want to see this woman naked in the next 3 episodes, you need to start showing off some of the characteristics that Sassy has talked about and not your songs about farts.
I know, but... I mean, I probably did dumb shit like that when we first met, and here we are.
yeah, you did dumb shit like that in the first 2 years, see? Which is why we didn't date.
Oh, right.
And then when I realized
I sang
if
fart
you,
songs?
Probably. And I then probably when I was like, oh, he actually isn't as much of an idiot as I thought at first.
Oh, okay. Let's see what happens.
So that's anyway. What we need. We need Ted to graduate to the not as much all of an right. idiot as I first thought.
Oh, okay.
And I feel mostly like Rebecca is there, but come on, Ted. Hmm. We see Keely and Rebecca going through the hallway. They run into Roy, and Rebecca asks Roy, oh, you do the conference, press conference.
Well, first
today.
They said speak of the devil, which immediately he's uncomfortable
oh,
because
that's true.
Keely's right there. So speak of the devil. Okay, you're talking about me. Right. What's this about?
Maybe he thinks Keely's telling Rebecca he has a hairy ass when he right. doesn't.
Right, maybe. right, exactly.
Rebecca asks Roy, can you do a press conference today? I need you to fill in for Ted. And he just says, fuck no.
Yeah, in his own Roy way.
Then they're just kind of staring at him, and he's like, well, why can't Ted do it? And they keep staring at him.
Right, because it's frankly, it's none of his business.
Right, and that's not the point of this conversation. And then he says, I mean, I'd love to.
Now, see, I think this is something to do with the new Roy. He's trying to become this different, like, what would the old Roy say compared to what the new Roy would say?
And he slips a little. With his fuck no at first.
Right. But
then he brings it around.
Right. But then he's like, okay, yeah, wait a minute. What I should have said was sure. So, yeah, I think Roy's trying
he's
to change
trying.
His ways. And I think we learn that more later in the episode. I know this is not a Roy podcast, but I'm saying we learn more about that later on.
We love Roy, though.
Oh, we do.
I wonder if this is the first time he and Keely have seen each other again since he fucked up royally in the last episode asking her who the...
Oh, I thought they saw each other again. Maybe they didn't.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You might be right.
So that's awkward. As they walk away, she's like, okay, great, shall we? And they keep walking, and their little outfits match each other. Rebecca and Keely are the cutest. Mm. If Ted and Rebecca don't get together, my only other ship is Rebecca and Keely.
Okay.
Sorry, Roy. And Keely looks back at him as they're walking away. And he says, fuck. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca says, I heard that.
Yep. And then he looks back.
Old Roy is going to strike again.
No.
Because Higgins comes into Rebecca's office and he's like, I'm sorry. Did you know that Ted wasn't going to do the press conference today? And she's like, yes, I asked Roy to fill in. Mm. And he's like, that explains it. So they go downstairs.
Do we have a problem? And Beard is just... screaming at Greg. Poor Greg. The reporter.
There is definitely a problem because down in the press room, Beard is the one doing the press conference and he's having a full-on fight with the reporters over whether Joe Walsh or Jimmy Page was a better guitarist.
Well, and the funny thing is when he's first screaming that at him, when you see Beard screaming, you think, okay, this is an intense discussion about football.
Yes.
And then it's just even more ridiculous because they're talking about Joe Walsh versus Jimmy Page, which obviously everybody in that room leans towards Jimmy Page just because Led Zeppelin's from the UK.
Right.
So, Joe Walsh is not.
I know somewhere in the recesses of my brain, I know who Joe Walsh played for, but I
the
can't.
Eagles.
Okay, thank you.
And solo, he had a solo, couple of solo albums as well. But he's one of the guitarists in the Eagles.
So. It really gets heated, and Rebecca realizes that she's going to have to step in here. So she goes up to the podium, and she's like, oh, it's so nice to see all of you again.
Right, like first they chase Beard, and chase the only coach who's there out of the room.
Higgins is pushing him out the door.
I know, and like he's trying to fight to get back in.
Right. Screaming, we all know, oh no. Stairway to Heaven is just a glorified fingering exercise as he's getting pushed out.
I think Stairway to Heaven, I guess, is a masterpiece in its own right, but I kind of agree with them a little bit. I'll probably get hate mail on that.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, I have no dog in the fight, so I just hope that they're not too mean to you.
Right.
He pushes Beard out the door, and he calls, when it got really heated, he called someone a Neanderthal.
Yes, he did.
So then Rebecca's like, okay, ask me anything. And they're like, okay. So they ask, she looks to see who first, and then she points at Marcus, who who also is New Trent when Roy coins him later. And he asks her, who do you think is the greatest guitarist of all time?
I know. And then that's it for Rebecca.
Yeah. So the next time we see Rebecca, it's and her then, getting...
I mean, can I...
Oh, go
can
for
Can we
it.
Mention that? Who did I say she would say before she said it?
You said Eric Clapton.
And then when they left the room, she said, Higgins is making fun of her.
The guy from Cream,
which Eric Clapton was the only guitarist in Cream. So I was right. Because he'd be another British guitarist that they would all probably love over there.
I would have known that you were right if I hadn't known that Eric Clapton was the guitarist from Cream.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
My stepdad would be very disappointed.
Yes, he would.
Okay, now I have to say something about this part here. So when Rebecca comes out of the press room, she's like shaking it off. And someone on Twitter noticed that if you go back to Ted's first press conference when she shoves him in there after he's gotten off the plane and he's all disheveled.
Yeah.
And he comes out, he kind of does the same on the way out.
Ah.
So knowing them, they did it on purpose. But yes. It's also just a cute thing of like how everybody is sort of wearing off on each other. Like they've used the words big whoop with so many characters now on this show. And I just think that is kind of silly because it's something that you would probably hear Ted say. You've heard other Ted sayings kind of being said by other characters and other characteristics being picked up. But yeah, I thought that one was pretty cool. But the point we need to take away from this scene is that Rebecca says, I'm going to murder Roy Kent.
Yes.
Yes. And then immediately goes looking for him. So she busts into, what is this, the locked gym room?
The weight room.
Weight room?
Yeah.
And just yells, Oi, Kent, get your hairy ass into my office now. And then leaves. And the whole room gets quiet. The entire team is in there.
But then they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Because he's in trouble.
And then Roy turns around and says, every single one of you know my ass isn't hairy. And none of you spoke up.
But yeah, which would have maybe created an awkward situation. But
that, yes, it would have. And Rebecca really doesn't need to know the information.
Yes.
She's probably just assuming because so much of him is hairy that his ass would also have to be hairy.
True.
But even though this is kind of a funny moment, I think this kind of, because Isaac says, you're right, we're cowards. And then takes that later into the episode in a very much more serious situation that, in fact, gets him in trouble. While all this is going on, Ted is down in his office doing the press conference. I mean, doing the parent-teacher conference that he talked
to doing a conference.
Rebecca about earlier. And you just hear him say, so do y'all still dissect?
Folks still dissecting frogs in science class these days?
Or do you just talk about the frog's feelings now?
Yeah, and the one funny thing I got out of this scene was right when he starts asking that, Trent turns because, I don't know, like my mind, it probably just was turning to listen. But in my mind, I guess you can almost think that's something that Ted would just ask out of the blue in general,
just
to
randomly
anybody.
Say.
So maybe even half Trent was like, is he asking me this? Oh, okay, no, he's on his call. But, you know, it's like at any time he could say that. And the other thing that's great is the teacher's like, yeah, honestly, both. And then immediately, Michelle's like, Miss Ledbetter, is anything that Henry can do to bring up his grade in class?
Right.
And I almost feel like this is something that you and I would probably do with a teacher. I would ask something really stupid, and then you would cut to the chase. Like,
oh, no.
No, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Ted and Michelle aren't married anymore.
I know, but I'm saying that Ted would have been asking that anyway.
Yeah. So, because that's just Ted. And you know, I can't tell Mrs. Ledbetter, who I believe is Brendan Hunt's wife playing that character, is really amused, because it almost seems like she's like a little giggly and like thinks he's charming.
Well,
or
maybe
she's
almost
playing
just
along.
Like, oh, he's into what's going on in the class. I don't know. Because, you know, a lot of these teachers, they're always into their subject, that, you know.
Yeah. And anytime a dad seems relatively tuned in to what's going on with the parent-teacher conference, I think they appreciate that as well. We find out that Henry is having trouble in science class. But we don't find anything else more about what's going on with Michelle and Dr. Jacob in this episode.
No.
Somebody had an interesting take, and
I don't
remember where. No, I thought it was a pretty good one. I think I saw it on Facebook, which I'm not going to say anything, but
I enjoy those.
Someone said, what if Michelle thought Dr. Jacob was going to propose and he didn't? And that's why she's a little bit cold with him when they go to get in the car. I thought that never crossed my mind.
Oh, okay.
Only because I thought, who the hell is really going to get engaged this soon after getting divorced with like the first guy maybe that you've really had a serious relationship with?
Rebound.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But that, I did think that was kind of interesting. Yeah.
I love, just a quick side note, I do love the one of the Facebook groups that I'm on, which will be remain nameless, but somebody posted in there, I'm really starting to wonder if we're even watching the same show, all watching the same show, because everybody, the wild ideas that people come up with in there, man, it's amazing. Some of them are like, oh, that's, you know, make you think, oh yeah, that I never noticed that before. Some are like, I don't know.
I
was going to make something up insane, right. but that's pretty much what it is. It's entertaining.
I think that Rebecca and Liza are actually going to end up together. And they've been tricking us this whole time by barely having Liza be a character on this show.
Mm.
That's it. You guys wait and see. I know I have to burn the podcast down, but this way I can at least still say I'm right.
Okay. Yeah.
So I do want to see some more development with whatever is going on with how Ted is feeling about Michelle and what the hell Michelle is feeling at this point, because this gives us the indication that everything's status quo. She hasn't said anything about what that look meant when she was leaving his apartment or anything more about Dr. Jacob.
Mm-hmm. One quick side note. When Colin comes in and talks to Trent Crim, which is in the next room, and there's this random sliding door I've never really even noticed before, but have you? I don't know. Okay, maybe I have.
Yeah, because Roy was all angry and slammed when he left.
That's right. Anyway, Trent Crim's wearing a killer Cure shirt.
Oh, I know. His shirts are so awesome.
The coolest shirts. Their wardrobe really suited him well, because that's a really cool shirt.
Rebecca Welton Wears, which is a Twitter account, they found the Dolly Parton shirt that he's wearing, I believe, later in the episode. Because people were like, where? And it looks like it was an actual real vintage shirt that we probably can't find anymore, but so cool.
But a lot of concert shirts look like that now.
Now we're going to get one of the best Rebecca and Roy scenes we've ever seen on this show. So he comes into her office and he's like, what is your fucking problem? I love that he just feels like he can talk to Rebecca about that, because technically she is his boss.
I know, but even an even higher version of his boss. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, in normal workplace, there's like the manager and then the vice president of that part or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like walking into that boss's office.
He's basically just cursing at the corporate flying object or whatever Keely thought the CFO was. So then she's like, oh, wait, I know that one. You are.
Right.
So she's like, what happened to the press conference you're supposed to do? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Like, he just thought, oh, I'll say yes. And then he probably thought about it more. And he was like, I really don't want to do that.
Yeah, he's like, just, hey, Beard, can you go do this?
Right.
And then they turned into a big shit show.
Beard's like, sure. I've been wanting to get up there and yell at some people for a while. So she's like, so you just didn't do it. And then she asks him, is this your plan for the rest of your life? You're just going to walk away from anything as soon as it isn't fun or easy.
Ooh.
I know. Because we know that's what he did to Keely.
She's speaking for her friend.
She is. And this is sweet because Roy kind of did the same thing for Rebecca when she was all asking about John Wing's night and if they liked him or whatever.
He was
just like, he's fine. But he told her flat out, like, well, I don't know what makes you think that he's good enough for you. And now she's...
Right, he mentioned something about you should feel like you've been struck by lightning or something.
By fucking lightning, which...
Well, sorry.
We're still hope... No, I'm just...
I left the fucking part out.
I like the fucking.
Oh, cool.
So she asks Roy, what is it that you really want? And he tells her, I just want to be left alone. And she calls bullshit on that.
Yep.
And she tells him, you convinced yourself that you deserve nothing And so you'd rather eat a bowl of shit soup and then complain about the portions.
She's dead on.
Oh, I know. This is so good. She tells him, get out of your own way. And she's like, because this whole, woe is me.
I know, that was excellent.
It was great. Is ponderous. And I had to look up ponderous because I honestly didn't. I don't know what I thought the definition of ponderous was, but it's like lazy, clumsy, clunky. And I was thinking it was like that you're going to ponder something. Mm. So Ted Lasso, thank you for teaching me there a new word. He asks if that's all. And she says, yes, for now. And then he leaves.
That's nice. I like that she said that, you know, just to give him a warning that
this could
happen anytime.
Right. I'll be back to yell at you when you're least expecting it. And I couldn't, her face goes through a few emotions after he leaves. And one of them, I feel like she almost is like a little proud of herself that she did it. Because even though we've seen Rebecca yelling at quite a few people, I feel like that's still a bit out of her comfort zone. Because she's talked before about not getting involved in her mother's relationship and stuff. So she kind of took a risk here getting involved in Roy's. Because you know that this was on Keeley's behalf as far as what happened between them as well. So I think she's a little proud of herself. And then she takes a bite of biscuit.
I know. And she takes a breath like, wow, that was... Yeah. You could tell that she was like, whoa, what did I just do? Like, that was...
And she looks surprised, too, that he didn't yell back at her. That he was just like, okay, and then walked out.
Well, that's Roy, though, in a way, I think.
Yeah.
Roy is Roy. But when he's put in his place, I think he knows when to not... You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, I loved when Higgins said, you got to let Roy... Sometimes Roy's going to be Roy. And Rebecca said, yeah, well, it's time for Rebecca to be Rebecca.
I know. When she knew that was going to... That was great. Off. Yeah, it's a great line.
We get to the day of the match. Higgins, Keeley, and Rebecca are sitting up in her box area.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca looks at her phone and then she says, Higgins, did you just text me from a seat away? I'm sitting right here. And he's like, yes, I see that now.
Yeah, he probably started the text while she wasn't there, looking down, blah, 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 hit send, and then looked up and she was there.
Why? I feel like they have made Higgins spectacularly stupid in this season.
I don't know.
I don't remember him being this dumb in like the other seasons. It's funny.
Maybe we got to go back and rewatch and really pay attention.
Maybe I need to see... Yeah, maybe he's always just been bumbling and I didn't realize it as much. Keeley gets a text message from Jack and she's like, oh, it's Jack. She says she's in Argentina and will be for months. So now she's like, I guess our break is actually a break up.
Our break is finally up or is...
Is an up? Is that what she said?
Yeah, our break becomes an up or something like that.
She tells them, now that we're broken up, feel free to say whatever you want about her. All the bad things that you thought. Higgins jumps on it immediately, talking about how Jack had way too strong of a handshake.
I know.
And Rebecca stays silent. And again, I think that goes back to Higgins not knowing that you shouldn't say that.
Right.
Because he got involved in Beard and Jane's relationship when no one else would. Rebecca says you need to stay quiet because it's only going to come back to hurt your relationship. And everyone knows when someone breaks up with someone, you don't say bad things because if they get back together, then you're the asshole.
That's happened.
Does that happen
to you? Happened to me before for sure. I think it's happened to you too as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
There was a couple we know that got married.
Oh, yes. Okay, so yes, I did, yes. That was before they
hadn't
broken up.
Well, no, they hadn't gotten together.
They hadn't gotten together yet.
That's what it was, and they asked about...
Yeah, that he liked her, and she asked me about him, and I said, he's a mess, stay away from him.
And now they're married.
And then they got married.
Oh, yeah.
And then we hung out with them years later, because they met up with us again, and I was like, I don't want to go have dinner with him because I'm so scared that he knows that I told his wife that he was a mess. But he didn't. Apparently, she never said anything to him about it.
Oh, yeah, right. And then, because, matter of fact, they said, they quoted you as...
Yeah, he like said that I was one of the people who helped him and his wife get together. Anyway, they're divorced now, so I was right.
Well, my situation was my buddy and his wife were having problems, and... we and him sat around one night and I kind of laid into her saying, well, yeah, it's, because they were on the brink of divorce or separating. Well, they're together now. That was 20 years ago, and they're still together now. And I kind of tore into her a little bit. So anyway,
do you still talk to them?
I'm just Facebook friends.
Okay. So yeah, I think that's it's a parallel with how they both handled the Beard and Jane thing,
right,
and Rebecca saying what she's learned from her mom because Rebecca stays quiet.
But I mean, you got to love that Higgins' only complaint about Jack was the firm handshake.
That's true. He's like, I get it. You're nice. You're friendly.
Now, it's also a power thing. Like,
oh, totally.
That firm handshake. Yeah. Letting you know, hey, I mean, I'm not a weak little person.
I will say that it made me a bit uncomfortable just because it's like him saying that about a woman who we, as far as we know, identifies as bisexual or lesbian. Like, like she was trying to be too strong or whatever with
him. No, I think she literally had too firm of a handshake. Could have been a man or a woman for Higgins.
Yes, I think Higgins, I don't see it coming from Higgins. So it wasn't as offensive as it could have been. Now, during this game, the A storyline in this entire episode is that last week, Isaac found out that Colin is gay.
Right.
He has not spoken to Colin since then. He keeps being really cold with him, and it's making Colin uncomfortable. He went to Trent to ask about it, and Trent was like, give him a little time. Yeah, sometimes people need time. And he's been doing that. But now they're at the game. They haven't done well in the first half. A fan is being loud and yelling things. I like that his first insult is numpty, which is pretty benign, I think. It just means like dummy.
Yeah.
And then he just goes with the F word, right. The other F word.
The other F word.
And Isaac hears him, goes into the stands, and starts to beat the guy up. When it happens at first, you're still almost not sure what Isaac's take is. You guessed it, and I was hoping and figuring it was going in that direction.
It from the get-go that he was he was mad he didn't tell him.
Right. It had nothing to do with Colin being gay, but more about the fact that he didn't feel comfortable sharing it with him. So he gets into a fight. He gets, what is it called? He got a red card?
Yes, a red card. Which gets him thrown out of the game, and then they lose the position.
They're not allowed to put anyone else in it, right?
Right. You know, what was funny is back in April, there was a similar situation in baseball. I mean, not that much, but like I think a fan baseball, usually in baseball too, they'll yell stuff at them and the baseball players just walk by like whatever. But this guy, Anthony Rendon, actually had the altercation with the fan. He grabbed him by the shirt. Because the guy, I think he called him a little bitch.
Oh.
But it's like, it's so true that, I mean, and it comes up later in this episode. Yeah. And they're like, they're not just soccer players. We're people too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Like, what are you doing? And you're up there with your beer and your ice cream.
Right.
Not half even drunk. A fraction of the athlete that this person is on
the field.
And you're criticizing them like you know anything about what they're doing.
I know.
So ridiculous. Anyway, sorry.
That's always been my biggest thing with football is like there's so many out of shape men just screaming at their TV every Sunday.
Saying the quarterback's an idiot.
Right. When, I mean, come on.
Well,
get out there and try it.
Right. And what I was thinking was, oh, I wonder if they got that storyline. And then I looked up, I'm like, oh gosh, that happened April 1st. So this shot way before then.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like,
right,
you know, sometimes
shows will try
to relate to what's going on. Even how this show did
Sam and
last week, what happened with
them.
Yes. And what happened also with Keely last week when her video was, when she was hacked and it was that, you know, that thing's happened in real life a couple of years ago. So, art imitates life kind of a thing, but I'm like, oh no, it was in April. So anyway, sorry. I've rambled enough.
No, that is interesting. Did that guy get kicked out or?
He did. He got suspended. Okay. You're not supposed to interfere with the fans. It's a big no.
Yeah. They just have to stand there and listen to them say terrible things.
Yeah. Just keep walking like they don't hear them.
Now they go into halftime. And everyone's kind of a mess because Isaac's
worked up.
So worked up. And they sit down in the locker room. Everyone is quiet. Ted's kind of waiting for who's going to speak first, and no one does. And he's like, okay, well, then I'll kick it off. And he just says, Isaac, what the hell happened?
Right.
So he says that he was saying something really bad, but he won't say what it was. And then Sam speaks up and says, it was the F word. And Jamie's like, fuck.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, the other F word.
Fuck. Yeah.
So
that was pretty funny.
They realize what was said and they're Ted again is like, you know, you got to just let this stuff go. The reaction that you had to it was not appropriate. And he's like, I don't want to let this stuff go. I can't brush this stuff off because what if one of us is gay? We shouldn't have to listen to this ignorant shit. Mm-hmm. And he is still upset. So he gets up and walks out. And when you think that Ted is going to be the one to follow him, Roy is the one to follow him instead.
Right.
Higgins does say, if it means anything, the fan has been removed. And I apologize for my father. Seriously, has Higgins always been this dumb? When he leaves.
And I love that he tells himself to read the room.
Yes. He's like, and even says, Leslie, read the room. I like that Isaac hands the captain band to Sam on mm-hmm. his way out the door. That leads to a great scene between Sam and Jamie, where Jamie's like motioning for him to throw the band over to him, and Sam just flicks him off. So we see Roy go to talk to Isaac. Isaac thinks that Roy's going to yell at him at first, but Roy doesn't, and he actually just sits with him and, you know, tells him that he can't let this kind of stuff eat him because it's going to make...
Well, this was an excellent scene because it basically... Roy knows mm-hmm. something else is bothering you.
Right.
But you're letting that cause problems in the locker room and on the field. And mm-hmm. and until you deal with that, which makes him eventually confront it.
Right.
So it's an excellent scene.
So we got a little bit of new Roy back.
That's here. What I'm saying. Yep.
He's trying so hard. In the locker room, the guys are all going around like, okay, so what was that all about? And then someone, Bumbercatch, I think, says, well, it's obvious. Isaac must be gay.
Everybody's like, oh.
And then they're, oh. And no one cares. They're just saying, you know, like, oh, okay, well, let's not talk about this anymore. All Isaac needs is our support.
Yeah.
But Colin can't let them go thinking that Isaac is gay and stands up and says Isaac isn't gay. And I like how they don't show him actually ever telling them, I'm gay. It goes from Isaac's not gay, and then when they come back to the scene, he's just like, so are we cool?
Right. Yeah, they handle that very well. It's a very good job.
Yeah, because it almost feels like it's none of our business to see that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like it was very private between them. It was just I thought it was an interesting way to cut it, because we know what he's going to say. So do we really need to see him tell the team? And they're all like, yes, we're cool. And they are saying again, you know, we don't care. Doesn't matter to us. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But Ted steps in and he's like, you know what? We do care. And then he tells this story.
A ridiculous story
about his friend Stevie Jewell, who was a big Denver Broncos fan. But since they lived in Kansas City, everybody was a Chiefs fan.
Right.
So Ted told him, you know, I don't care if you're a Broncos fan. That's fine. It doesn't bother me. But Stevie had to watch the Super Bowl by himself because 2 years in a row, the Broncos went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl, I guess. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So he said the first year it happened, he ate an entire 7-layer dip all by himself. So Stevie's family didn't even like the Broncos?
Well, and the other problem is, I don't know. I remember my friends... teams being in the Super Bowl, and I still watch the Super Bowl with them. You don't leave them alone.
He knows I'm so mad
that my team didn't make it. I don't want to watch it with the guy whose team did make it.
Well, it wasn't so much that he didn't want to watch it. It was that he didn't even think about it. I guess that the Chiefs weren't in the Super Bowl. He was going to go do whatever else was going on that day. That's true.
The Super Bowl, no matter who's in it.
Well, poor Stevie
ate
the 7-layer dip.
And ruined his parents' toilet.
Yes, blew up his parents' toilet, caused $9,000 worth of damage. I feel like that number was exaggerated over the years.
Yeah.
And then the next year...
Or maybe it was the plumbing in general.
Yeah.
Maybe he did a number on the plumbing.
There had to have been other problems.
Because there's no toilets that are $9,000.
Oh, of course.
And if there is, I want to see it.
But
I'm sure there is, actually.
If one shit can really cause $9,000 worth of damage... That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Seven.
Anyway, the next year he does the same thing again because no one wants to see the Super Bowl.
Right. And the side thing I love is that there's another Kansas local reference there, the Price Chopper. It's a grocery store.
You know that for
I looked
sure?
It up. Okay, yeah. Cool. It's a grocery store in Kansas. Nice. The price. Maybe it's in a bunch of areas around there, but I looked at I'm like the Price Chopper. Sure enough, I found the website. Matter of fact, I searched for the seven-layer dip on the Price Chopper to see if there was such a thing. And it wasn't listed, but it sounds like it's one of those deli.
It's seasonal, maybe.
Right. Where they like make it in, Super Bowl they make time. It in the, you know, in the deli area.
And, you know, damn this show, because I have never had any interest in going to Kansas City. But now I'm like, it would be fun to go see that barbecue place, Arthur Bryant, and just see what Kansas City is about.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about Kansas City.
I'd like to go see Royals play. Go to see that stadium.
There you go.
The baseball stadium.
I'll go with you. I won't let you go alone.
Oh, okay.
You'll have someone with you.
We'll spend a weekend in Kansas and do a podcast about it.
Ted says that he should have cared and he should have been there supporting him. Even though it wasn't his team, there was no reason to leave his friends sitting there by himself watching the Super Bowl.
I know, and it really is, it's a stretch, and they even pointed out afterwards.
Wait, and then he says, watching his garbage-ass team win this back-to-back Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Colin says, did you just compare being gay to being a Denver Broncos fan? And he's like, oh, yeah, I did, and I apologize for that.
Yeah.
I see that that's wrong now.
No, after he went on a whole thing about it.
So they go back out for the second half of the game, and they win, and Colin scores 2 goals. Because this is probably a huge weight lifted off of Colin.
Scored goals. He assisted. Assist.
Oh, I thought he did. Hang on.
All right.
We got to pause. We're back. We reviewed the play. Yeah. I'm wrong. He did. He assisted.
Means he got the ball up there.
Yeah.
You know, kicked it and then somebody else kicked it in or something.
It's sweet how like the team really came together after the half. Probably one, they were going to give it their all for Isaac because they were playing with a man down. And Colin probably feels like he's...
Right, like...
You know, just relief.
And just like what Roy said to Isaac in the locker room, we got to deal with that because it's going to mess everything up. Now the relief, it's been lifted and the entire team has, you know, they don't have that like... kind of cancer they had in the first half with Isaac, you know, and the whole thing. And now it's like, not that Isaac's bad, it's just what it was. And then like the mojo is much better in the second half. And Colin feels confident. I mean, confidence is a game changer.
Mm-hmm. I love also in the locker room when they're discussing, Jan Mass says, well, 10% of the population is gay. So there's a pretty good chance that there's more than one person in this locker room. Mm. And then everyone's kind of looking around.
Yeah, I know.
We know it's Trent. But they all kind of look at Jamie, and Jamie's like, I'm flattered.
I know. So funny.
Before we move on to, I want to mention that the actor who was playing the fan, his name is David Kirkbride, and he tweeted about how it was just a great experience working on the show and that everyone was very nice.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. I love hearing stuff like that.
I bet you he had a blast.
Now, in the office, they're all very happy that they have won, but nobody wants to talk about a streak in any way, like, they're not going to...
Superstitious.
Yes.
Very sports.
Trent says something to Roy about it, and Roy says, shut up. He says, my grandparents were married for 51 years because they never spoke to one another. We don't talk about a streak. Roy tells Trent to scram.
Right.
And Trent has the sweetest little smile on his face when he looks back at Roy.
Yeah. Well, they're all buds now.
They are. They've formed a little friendship.
But you would think that Trent... Krim, as a former sports beat reporter or whatever, would know you don't talk about a streak. I don't know.
Maybe he's just trying to get him, antagonize him.
I guess so.
A little bit. Higgins comes in and he says, congratulations. Beard hands him a shot.
Mm-hmm.
He takes the shot and then says, another one.
Mm-hmm. Another one, I guess, meaning that they won another game.
Oh, I thought he wanted another shot.
Oh, I thought it meant, I guess it could mean either one, but he doesn't finish the shot, does he?
Oh, I thought he did take the shot.
I thought he just sipped it.
Oh, I see.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm probably wrong. I've been wrong a couple times today.
Let's see.
Oh yeah, he just sips it.
Yeah, I think he meant like they won another game.
Got it. Okay.
But then Higgins says another one and then Ted says, oh, look at Higgins hitting us with his DJ Khaled impression, which I thought was just so great. That made me laugh so much, which you didn't know.
No, I said the same thing as Higgins. Who?
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, it was great when he says who, because he does kind of say it like DJ Khaled. But yeah, in DJ Khaled's songs, because he produces music for like Drake and all these different rappers and musicians. I mean, countless songs that he's produced. And every time you know it's produced by DJ Khaled, he says at the beginning of the song somewhere, he'll say, DJ Khaled, every time. Mm-hmm. Well, then it got to the point where he just started saying another one.
Well, because he's doing so many.
Right. So it's just, it's like another, I have so many hits. Another, and here's another one. So that made me laugh so hard when, because even as soon as he said another one, I'm like, that's very DJ Khaled, even before Ted started saying that. Like, I was saying that to myself, like, so it really made me laugh when Ted said that.
Then Higgins asked Ted, are you ready to go speak to the press? It's a big one. And Ted says, that's what the lady from the American office said. He's saying that's what she said.
Right.
She said joke. But I was wondering, had they ever said that on the British office and Ted just doesn't know because he's never seen the British office. So I looked it up. And on the British office, because I have watched it, but it was so many years ago. On the British office, Ricky Gervais would say, said the actress to the bishop.
Oh.
Which was an old British saying that he kind of brought back with that show. So that's what she said was the American version of that. Because obviously we wouldn't have understood what the actress said to the bishop.
Of course.
But I thought that was funny that they worked in an American office joke again. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Ted does not go to the press conference. Roy does.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think at this point Roy just said, I got this one?
Yes. I think he said, let me do it. Yeah. Because I don't think Ted told him to do it or anything. I think he just was like going for it. And Rebecca doesn't know this yet. She asked Keely, did you give Ted some talking points? And she's like, oh, no, I haven't done that in a long time. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca's like, oh, no. She's like, wait a minute. There's going to be baseball jokes and all sorts of stuff going on.
But he's done them every week. I don't know why all of a sudden.
I know. But I think she probably just gets a little nervous sometimes because of the fan interaction. But you're right. He has come out with some excellent stories even when she wouldn't expect it. Like when Earl the Greyhound was killed, rest in peace, Earl. He had a great story for that. So Roy walks in and Rebecca is a little terrified. And
Higgins
is
gagging.
Yeah, yes. Your noise is back. Mm-hmm. He sits down. He addresses the reporters. Everyone has a question
for
him.
Yes, of course.
He's a little taken aback.
Well, a lot of action happened in that game.
It did. So he points to one of them and says, 5 o'clock shadow head.
Roy can do that. Yeah.
And the reporter asks him, does the organization condone what Isaac McAdoo did today? And Roy's like, what a stupid fucking question. Yeah. And Rebecca's sweating.
I know. She's like, oh, God, here we go.
Oh, she's like sucking on her teeth. She's so scared. But then he turns it around and he's like, of course not, you know, and he's lucky that all he got was a red card because it could have been a lot worse.
Right.
Then Roy goes on to tell a story, very Ted Lasso-esque.
I know. This was very Ted Lasso.
As that when he was younger, there was a player on another team whose wife was pregnant. And he made a comment to the guy that statistically speaking, it's probably Roy's kid, his kid.
Right.
And the guy punched him. And beat him up really bad. Broke his ribs. He couldn't play for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, really took it out on him.
Then he said, I guess the guy got kicked out completely. Like, didn't play football after that at all. He ran into the guy months later at a pub. And the guy told him that he and his wife had actually lost the baby like a month before that happened. But hadn't told anyone yet.
Right. And so that's probably why he really beat the hell out of Roy, because it was all pent up and frustrated.
And so this goes back to one, Roy is always taking his anger out on things that aren't what he's really angry at.
Yes.
He said the same thing to Isaac you can't take your anger out on things that you're not really angry about. Like, you need to fix what's bothering you to begin with.
Right.
Roy says, none of us know what's going on in each other's lives here.
Yeah.
So for, you know, even though we're upset with him, I'm going to give him love right now because that's what he needs. And for why he did it, it's really none of our fucking business anyway. Yeah. I said fucking again.
Yeah. You did cursing a lot in this episode.
And it's a beautiful story. It's a brutal story. It's probably one of the saddest things I've heard on this show so far. Oh, sadder than, only sadder than his Ted's dog story after Earl was killed. So then he goes on to the next reporter and he says, new Trent. And you can see Rebecca's proud and relieved. Keely's crying because she's adorable. He says, new Trent. And new Trent is this guy named Marcus, who is now taken over for the Independent.
Right.
And he asks him, you know, well, let's talk about Colin Hughes. And he says, he's a great player, great man. And I think we have underused him. And he's like, oh, we agree. And he's like, okay, great. I like you better than old Trent.
I know. I know. And it was, it's funny. He's like, yeah, I prefer you to old Trent. And meanwhile, Trent's standing in there.
Oh, he is.
He's in the back of the room.
That's okay.
But he's always known that Roy's, you know.
Right. They shared that sweet smile earlier.
Right, exactly.
Then before they leave, he calls for the Goblin King. And I didn't know who he was referring to, but then I saw someone post a picture of David Bowie in the movie Labyrinth. And his character was Goblin King. Because of that, it's that girl because of her hair.
Yes.
Her hair is like short in the front. That's the one who,
throwback when, Ted says to her, change your hair. And he said, is that
breakup?
Breakup
going through a breakup?
Yeah, or something.
Yeah, or something else. And she's like lines. A little of both.
A little of both. Yeah.
All right. And that is the end of who we're going to cover. Yeah. In this episode, I'm not ignoring Nate. It's just that his storyline obviously didn't intertwine at all. But.
And then Colin and Isaac make amends in the end.
Right. Yeah. Isaac goes over to his house. They talk. And he does say, you know, it's that you were going through this alone. And there was something about me that made you think you couldn't tell me. And he's like, no, it was that 1% that maybe you wouldn't accept it.
Right. Yeah. It was actually good.
Yeah. Very sweet. All right. We're not going to do what we learned about Ted this week.
Yeah.
I'm changing it up.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't think we learned enough about either of them in this episode.
No.
We would only be able to make jokes.
Yes.
So I want to review a few things, though, that I think we need to see or need to happen in these next three episodes for this to go the way we hope it will. Will we ever see a third High Boss or High Ted? You remember how Ted wrote out High Boss?
Oh, yeah.
On the pitch.
Yeah.
Rebecca went to his house and wrote out High Ted in tinsel. If they're going to round that out with three, the rule of three, will we see that again?
Yes. With either one, right?
Yeah, it could be either one, I guess.
I would think it would be Ted this time, but.
Yeah, but maybe not. Maybe they'll switch it up.
Yeah.
We need to see Rebecca yelling out the window again.
Yes.
She's yelled out the window at him twice.
I love those.
We need to see Rebecca's mom finding a man in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's another one that's in threes.
Yep, that's happened twice. That we have a lot that we need to see in three episodes.
Yeah, we have a lot that needs to happen in three episodes.
Will Rebecca see another Ted panic attack?
Oh, yeah.
Because she comforts him the first time. Mm-hmm. She knows he's having one the second time, but doesn't get to him. Or would Rebecca have a panic attack and Ted notice? I don't know.
I don't know.
Flip it around. Do you think we're going to find out what the biscuits mean to Rebecca?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question.
Because in the episode, I think it's the second one, biscuits. He gets the care package from his son and he tastes the barbecue sauce and he says, you have anything that, you know, with one taste or smell, it brings you right back to home. And you see her look at the biscuits and then she looks at him and says, no.
Yeah.
And he sees her look at the biscuits.
Right.
So I don't know if it's enough that we know And Ted kind of knows.
Yeah.
That the biscuits are important to her in that way. Or if we're going to find out from Deborah or something, like, whose recipe, or, you know, who made the shortbread when she was a little kid or something. Because something about that, she wouldn't just be so attached to random cookies.
Yeah, that's biscuits. True. Biscuits.
And the other thing I was thinking is that we've seen so many other people change on this show because of Ted. But Ted doesn't seem to be changing all that much.
Yeah, not at all. That's a good point.
And so are we going to see where... Because he can't end this show being the same sad sack he was when he got here. And we've seen little increments, you know, with setbacks. But for the most part...
the breakup and everything, you know, there's been minor growth. But yeah, for the most part.
We've seen Jamie change so much. Mm-hmm. We've seen Roy change quite a bit. Beard's the same, but he didn't need to be fixed except for the Jane issue.
Yeah, right.
We've seen the team change so much.
Oh, yeah, for sure. How they've become, you know, better.
Yeah.
A better team together.
Way tight. So I just would like to see that kind of happiness for Ted before this show is over, which apparently is in 3 episodes.
Yeah, 3 hours.
And then
roughly.
We still have so much stuff with Rebecca to close up. Like, what's going on with the predictions?
I don't know.
Is she going to have a child in some way, shape, or form?
Right.
Has she talked to anyone? Like, in the last 3 episodes, she has only been, like, comforting other people. She told Keely about the boat guy, but...
Maybe she needs to go back and see Tish. Tish?
Well, I wonder, yeah. I wonder if Tish will come back.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I wonder if anyone's going to come back.
No, that's true. Are we going to see Zava?
Zava come back.
Shandy.
All these people disappeared.
Dutch man.
And it feels like it was almost last season by now.
Yeah.
That feels like a whole nother season to me. I don't know why. I guess because of this podcast.
I am reserving judgment until this show is over.
All right.
But I mean, I'm very curious to see how they're going to wrap all of this up in 3 episodes.
Yes.
And, like, if Ted and Rebecca don't end up with anyone, like, is that a satisfying ending? I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll see. Only time will tell.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, as I say every week, we've got 3 more hours. You can do a lot in 3 hours. 3 hours is 2 movies. You have a rom-com in an hour and a half.
That's my point.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, if you want to yell at me on Twitter, you can get me at Ted Becca Podcast. And we will see you next week. Thank you.
Right, bye.
Bye.